This is an interview with Dr. Kim Ford for the Youngstown State University Project on the Black Student Experience. This interview is being conducted using WebEx and today's date is September 8, 2023. And my name is Felicia Williams. Hello, Mrs. Ford.
Hello.
How are you?
I am doing okay. And yourself?
I'm doing all right. Thank you. Awesome. Let's start with where are you from? Where'd you grow up?
So that depends on how you define where I'm from. So I was born in Minnesota, grew up in Indiana, did college and medical school in Ohio, did residency in Pennsylvania, and then Illinois for fellowship. Not the answer you were expecting, was it?
Yeah, I was more so talking about where did you spend your childhood and high school years?
So childhood for the most part was in Indianapolis.
Okay. What was that experience like growing up in Indianapolis?
It was fine. There were I was on the north side, so Washington Township schools. So I wasn't in IPS, as far as like public school, sort of, it was still public school, but it wasn't, Indianapolis public schools. It was Washington Township, which was when I was there, my high school, was ranked as number one in the state or whatever overall. So it was a little different in that perspective. But otherwise, it was just normal. It was a very large school. There were like 3,000 kids in the high school.
Yeah. Why did you decide to come to Ohio to get a college education?
So originally, I was enrolled in NeoUCOM, the BSMD program. And then while I was there, I discovered osteopathy, which I didn't even know was a thing. And so I was like, well, this is why I wanted to go into medicine. And so left NeoUCOM and, just hoped I would be able to get into OUCOM, and there we are.
Why did you ultimately choose YSU? Was it specifically because you wanted to study? What was it called again?
So it's a BSMD program where you get, in theory, your undergrad and your MD in 6 years.
Yeah.
And the only three colleges that were in that program for NeoUCOM were Kent, Akron, and YSU. So. And I got into YSU.
Yeah. What was your experience like coming from Indianapolis to Ohio to go to school? What was that first year of school like?
For NeoUCOM, you start in the summer. So we started in like early July, I want to say. It's a long time ago. And so it was pretty lonely initially because there wasn't really anybody else there. There were some of the athletes, there was my program. And other than that, nobody was there for the most part until September or whatever. And so I was 6 hours away from home, no vehicle.
How did you find yourself adapting to being alone in a new state?
So I ended up, I don't think I started work study until fall. We were still on quarters then, not semesters. So I don't think it was until fall quarter that I started that, and I worked for the residence halls, and so I worked the front desk. I made more friends that way in the sense that I knew everybody, knew all of the residents, most of their family, friends when they would come, security. A lot of times, because of the way my schedule fell out, I would work like the 6 or 7 p.m. until midnight shift. And then, so then the when I was living off campus, campus cops would drive me home. And so I knew a lot of people that way.
Are you a first generation college student?
Am I what?
A first generation college student.
Sort of, not really. My mom, when I was in elementary school, middle school, got her associates. But other than that, on her side of the family, I was. And then my dad, he didn't go to college, but his dad did, which is really cool in and of itself. So kind of tangentially related to this. So my dad's dad was actually born in 1875. And so his parents and some of his siblings were slaves. And he actually went to college and was a teacher and had integrated classrooms because he taught the blind. Mm-hmm. So.
That's really interesting. Is he one of your motivations for you ultimately deciding to go to college as well?
Actually, no, because I didn't even find my father again until I was 16. And so I had already decided what I was going to do by then. But no, I just always, I knew I wanted to help people. And my school counselors and pretty much everybody, there wasn't a you're not going to college kind of choice. Unless I was gonna like really buck the system. They were like, okay, you're gonna go, duh.
Once you got to college, you mentioned that you worked in the residence halls, and that was how you met a lot of people, made a lot of friends. Did you meet any mentors, or were there any like faculty on campus who helped you throughout your college period?
Yes. So NeoUCOM has a coordinator, or had a coordinator on campus, Mrs. Krieger, who kind of helped me somewhat. And then there was, I dated slash was engaged to one of the RAs, and so he was an upperclassman, if you will, and so there was that. But and then Mr. Blake, who I think Rashada told you about, the he did the Alpha Kappa Mu. So that, but that was later. That was like my last year or two that I was there. So
how did you meet Miss Rashada Alexander?
How did we meet? So she was University Scholars, I think was the name of the program that she was in.
Yeah,
I think. Yeah, and so they were held to a similar standard as NeoUCOM was, but you couldn't be in NeoUCOM and be a university scholar. But so we got to know them a lot. And there weren't a lot of minority people that were there initially, outside of athletic. And we're both, as you can tell, a little goofy. So we hit it off that way.
You guys both pioneered and started a scholarship called Help a Sister Out. How did that come about?
So, as you know, being in school, it's a hard kind of broke. And especially in like December, when you know you've got to pay, room and board and school and fees and all that stuff for winter quarter, which I guess I don't know if you guys do, if the semesters start in January now. Are you still there? Your screen went away. Are you still there? Okay. All right. There we are. Okay. And so when you also had to pay rent and whatnot, but student loans didn't come in until January, and people will be like, oh, well, what can we do to help? You can donate to the Help a Sister Out Foundation. That's what you can do. And so we joked about that. And then once we both got big girl jobs, we were like, well, why don't we do it?
And how was that process of starting that scholarship from your perspective?
It was a little rough initially, because neither of us are there. And so it was like, okay, well, who do we talk to? What do we fill out? How do we do this? And over the last few years, Rashada took over that, which I'm very excited about. And she wrote a mission statement and all the things. And I'm like, you go, because that is not in my ministry. So once we got it started, it was just a matter of trying to keep track of who we needed to send the money to, because it would change as staff moved on and whatnot. And then we had Dr. Lovelace, who was kind of figuring out who the beneficiary would be. Because we wanted someone who was an African American female in STEM to decide who was going to get it. And neither of us really had the time to look at applications and all that jazz.
Your current career right now is a physician, am I correct? Can you go a little bit more into exactly what you do on a day-to-day basis?
So I'm an osteopathic family physician. I'm also have my certification in hospice and family medicine. I did a fellowship in women's health. Eventually, I'm hoping to transition to all hospice. It's my dream, because I love hospice. But I feel like you have to see the breadth of disease before you can really do it justice. Which, unfortunately, the way the medical field has gone, you can't even do that anymore. But so, like, today was seeing back pain, doing manipulation, doing a pre-op physical for someone who's going to have a procedure done, bread and butter kind of stuff.
How did you, when did you make the decision that you wanted to be in the medical field and be a physician?
So, when I was in seventh or eighth grade, I talked to my school counselor, and because she was trying to guide how you set up, high school classes and all that jazz. And I was like, well, I think I want to be a psychologist. And she's like, no, you're smart enough. You should be a psychiatrist. And so I was like, well, okay, whatever. And so I just kind of geared my classes and whatnot that way. And kind of the more I learned about it fit me and what I wanted, especially once I found out about osteopathy. And so that's kind of where it led. I decided relatively early on I did not want to be a psychiatrist, because being family practice, about a third of my practice is psych related in some way, shape, form, or fashion. And I take home enough of it with just a third of my practice that way. I did not want to do that all day.
Your major
was initially
don't
combined science chemistry and then became biology.
Okay, why did you change it? I wanted to ask, but there's like she also puts questions up here as well if she gets curious. So I'm sorry if I get distracted.
That's
Your
fine.
major.
Pop up, squirrel. Anyway, so I for Neo UCom, pretty much everybody is combined science chemistry when they come in. And so when I decided to leave Neo UCom, I was like, well, do I wanted instead of combined science, I wanted either chemistry or biology. And I only had to have like three more classes for my chemistry, but those classes were inorganic chemistry, physical chemistry, and another like way high one. And I was like, no, I'll do bio. Thanks. And so, so I had like an extra two or three quarters with the biology stuff. And I was like, that's okay. I'm good. I'll do that.
Why did you leave the Neo UCom program?
Because it's MD, it's allopathic, and I wanted to be a DO. Their philosophy suits more of why I was going into medicine. You know, the whole holistic philosophy, mind, body, spirit, that whole thing. And in osteopathy, you learn manipulation. So, like, I had a patient come in who today who could not extend her neck at all because her neck hurt so bad, the muscles were locked up. She couldn't rotate very far. And she saw the nurse practitioner yesterday who had started her on meds, but I did manipulation on her today, and she has another 10 to 15 degrees of rotation either way, and another 5 to 10 degrees of extension than within that 20 minutes between when she came in and when she left without drugs.
That's wonderful. That's cool. What was it that you liked more about osteopathy compared to traditional medicine?
The holistic view that I don't, you know, none of us go into medicine to be a drug dealer, but a lot of times that's where we end up. And you know, someone comes in and you're like, oh, let me just throw a pill at it and we'll see how it goes. And by all means, there's a time and a place for that. Absolutely. I do it every day. But I want to treat the whole person. And just because I can make the surveys or the questionnaire or the labs perfect doesn't mean I'm treating the patient.
Were in the BSMB programs, were there many other Black students who looked like you in those programs?
There were a few. There were the year I joined, or I was in there, there were three of us. And two of us ended up leaving and doing something totally different. And then I think Eva still went through. I don't know if she went all the way through or not. But Phyllis and I both left. We both went into STEM, but we didn't do BSMD. So, and
Being a
Phyllis was one of the three musketeers, if you will, between me and Shada and Phyllis, so.
STEM major here at YSU, there are not a lot of people within those majors who look like us. To keep it simple, it's like, how do you build a community within your interest in education when there's not a lot of people who look like you?
So there's you kind of have to like most things for people who look like us, you have to do the same thing in a very different way. So Whereas in NeoUCOM, my white colleagues, my Asian colleagues, they had a lot of people that looked like them. They had a lot of their professors and whatnot that looked like them. And so it wasn't as difficult. Whereas there were a couple of us that were in NeoUCOM. And so the three of us were kind of that way. But then outside of that, it was looking either in other majors or looking in other groups. So now you have the opportunity of Zoom learning and Facebook and all of that kind of stuff. And that wasn't really something we had then. And so, Shada was not in the same major as me, but we had some classes together, even though we were a year apart. And so we had a couple of things together, but most of what we had in common was not school, as far as like studying together for this test or that test. It was more the fact that we looked alike, or similar-ish. And the whole and there's always that balance of sharing similarities but also having differences. I mean, I laughed good long and hard when she saw snow for the first time and was so excited and thought it was the best thing ever. And I'm like, you just wait, give it another week. You won't think it's so wonderful. And she did. And when her mom called and left us a voicemail on the actual answering machine, because we had an actual answering machine. And she was like, where is you at in the snow? Because she was still back in Alabama. And I laughed for days about that. We still laugh about that 20 years ago. But it's a matter of looking outside of the main path that you see, and finding other things that you're interested in. Shada was she did theater a lot when she was there. And so she still has a lot of friends that were in that kind of arena there. So it's a matter of looking outside the obvious sources, because the things that you need support with in college, sometimes it's your particular major, sometimes it's a particular professor, but usually it's just life. How do you get food, pay bills, buy books? Where do you go when you have to go somewhere? Where is there a good place to get greens? Like, that is a thing. And like, I mean, there was one place that was in, it was right next to St. Elizabeth's Hospital, and they had soul food. And it wasn't there for real long, but I would walk from not quite Cafaro House. It was a little further than that. And I would walk there because I was like, I need something. I need comfort food. I need mac and cheese that is like not from a box, although I love the box, don't get me wrong. And there's just sometimes you need that.
Yeah, most definitely. Being a STEM major, especially a biology major, that takes up a lot of your time and it consumes you a lot. And like you just said, to build a community of people who look like you or people you feel comfortable around, you have to find other things that you are interested in. What other things outside of what you are learning specifically did you have interest in? It's interesting.
I was in marching band for the first year. I was a flag. Woohoo! It's the only sports thing I ever did. Now I'm a baseball mom and I'm like, what is this madness? So there was that. And then, there was a lot of diversity working the front desk. So it was mostly that. And then we would go out dancing a lot. because there's sometimes you just need to blow off steam. And so there were a couple different places that we would go, and like we wouldn't go out to date. We would just go out to just dance and blow off steam and get sweaty. But we had to time it right, because that was when you could still smoke in the clubs. And so you had to be able to do your hair the next day so you didn't spend the next week smelling like smoke. Something you probably have not ever had to deal with.
Yeah. I'm still too young to get into any clubs. I'm not old enough yet. What dorms did you work at?
Cafaro, Leiden, Kilcally, Wick.
So you worked at all of them. You yep. worked at all of them. Would you say that places like working the front desk at the dorms, or like doing small things like going out dancing and stuff like that, do you feel like that brought extra support to you as a student?
Yes. I mean, there's a I'm gonna tell you a story, and there's a reason I'm telling you the story. So when I got married, it was I had just finished with my fellowship like 9 months before that. And when I got married, I told my husband, who is no way, shape, form, or fashion in the medical field, that his job now is to help remind me that there's more to life than medicine, because mm-hmm. it will suck you in and take everything else. And so I think all of those things helped provide some balance so that I didn't become so funneled in that I didn't live life. Because, I mean, at this age, it's all about living life and figuring out who you are and what you want and where you want to be and who do you want to be, instead of who people have told you you should be. And so that was kind of all of those things helped me figure out who I wanted to be, and working the front desk, especially because like, the cleaning crew, the maintenance crew, security, I got to know all of them. And like I said, outside of athletics, as far as the next generation before me, most of the people that I saw that looked like me were in those groups. So there wasn't a lot of, I mean, there was Dr. Lovelace and Mr. Blake, Dr. Juan Tata in religious studies. That's most of them that I remember. And I will say one of the things I didn't say before is with NeoUCOM, they did have a minority support, in that Yvonne, I believe was her name. Mm-hmm. I can still remember that this long ago. I have no idea why. And so she would meet with me, Phyllis, and Eva, and she would take us out for lunch, brunch, whatever, once a month. And we would just talk about, you know, what is this and what is that? And sometimes she'd have physicians come and talk to us. But mostly it was just a like touchstone of stability, so that we could see someone who looked like us. She was not a physician, but she did work in retention at the school, at NeoUCOM, not at YSU.
Earlier, well, not earlier, but a little bit ago, you were speaking about this is the time in your life where it's like you struggle to become what you want to be and not what other people want you to be. You sound like you were pretty sure about what you wanted to do, but was there ever like any time where you battled or struggled with like, is this really what I want to do? Am I doing the right thing, going on the right path?
In undergrad, no. Later, yes, absolutely. In undergrad, not really. But it wasn't so much professionally that I was talking about, as much as the other stuff that makes you a person. You know, how close do you want to be to people? What kind of relationships do you want to be to people? How much of a rule follower are you? How much do you let ethics versus law decide what you do? You know, because there's sometimes it's easier to do things the easy way and not the ethical way. And there are a lot of times in college where that option gets presented and you're like, okay, well, who am I really? Where, what am I going to choose to do? And so it's more that kind of personhood instead of professional that I was talking about.
Okay. So how did you go about like finding out the kind of person you were outside of wanting to be a physician?
Well, so part of that was who I chose to associate with, because there were opportunities to associate with people that didn't have necessarily the same drive that I did. And, you know, times when you could decide, I'm just not going to do my homework. I'm going to go do thus and such. And don't get me wrong, I did that a time or three or more, but whatever. But, you know, most of the time you have to weigh the benefit long-term versus the benefit short-term. Because there's sometimes you do need to decompress and that's more important than, you know, studying for that test. But then there's other times where, you know, you got to study for the test. Like there's no other option. So, I mean, there's, and who I chose to associate with, when I was working the front desk, you know, some of the cops that would drive me home and whatnot, they knew, who I was, what I was about. And, like there was one, bless his heart, because he knew I was going to be there over Thanksgiving. I couldn't get home. And he's like, why don't you come spend Thanksgiving with me and my family? And hopefully my daughter will learn from you. I'm like, I don't know if I want that kind of pressure. I'm just saying. But it's that kind of thing where you build your web with people that you know you can lean on. And being as light as I am, I could pass to a certain extent, you know, as long as my hair was up. And, you know, did I want to take the easy way out? Did I want to say, yes, I'm African American, this is what I'm going to claim? Or am I going to say, well, I'm mixed and lean more towards the white side, or just, you know, go that way entirely? And that, in some circumstances, may have made things easier, but I also wouldn't have felt like I was being true to myself.
Did you ever, like, just in general, not just in college, did you ever struggle with being biracial and trying to figure out which identity you wanted to associate with in society?
Yes, frequently. So growing up, so in the 80s, there wasn't a lot of biracial where I was. And so it was very much, I was too white for the black kids, too black for the white kids. You know, everybody has their thing that they remember being traumatized by being called when they're younger, you know, four eyes or whatever. For me, it was like Zebra, Oreo, salt, like Salt and Pepper, all that stuff before that was a cool group. And so that was a thing. And I remember it was sixth grade. My mom was talking to me about this the other day because I came home off the bus crying, heaving and sobbing, saying, why did you have me? Why did you do this to me? You knew it would be hard. now I'm like, okay, well, you know, that was a rite of passage. And, but now it's, I'm on the flip side of it because my husband is white. So my son could absolutely pass if he wanted to. He at the moment doesn't want to, but when there was the whole, Floyd situation, at one point we were trying to talk to him about that and he was really upset about it and like wrote his first poem about it and the whole thing was, it was a thing. And so we talked to him about, you know, if someone came up to you and just said, you know, hey, what are you? What would you say? And he said, I would say I'm white because I don't want to get killed. And he was 8 at the time, 7 at the time. And so kind of dealing with it from that perspective of, well, crap, what do I do with this? Like, because I still have to talk to him about if you're going to say, and now he's like, oh, I'm black and, you know, mixed, and he kind of leans more towards that side, but he, being able to get him comfortable. And I told him, I'm like, if you want to say I'm white and just roll with that, that's your choice. It's your body. It's your life. You can choose how you want to do that. And, but so I'm looking at the flip side of it now. I mean, I'm pretty comfortable with who I am now, but now I'm trying to deal with who he wants to be.
You sounded, well, not sounded, you were very busy in college, but throughout your college career, the only job that you really mentioned working is the front desk. How did you pay for school? How did you get through it financially?
So my main job was work study, with the front desk. But I also, well, I got maxed out on loans and Pell Grants and all that stuff. I couldn't get parent loans because my mom didn't qualify. And to be honest, I couldn't rely on her to pay it back anyway. So, but I also worked at other stuff. For the last year and a half, or so that I was there, I also worked for the YWCA. I don't know if it's still just across the street, but that was where it was. And I did, I worked with grants with Komen doing mammograms and getting people signed up and social work kind of stuff with that. And then I ran a lupus support group.
What was that like running the lupus support group? That's really interesting.
Well, it was a learning curve, I'll tell you that, because I didn't know anything about lupus when I started it. Or not started it, when I started working there, I should say. But it was, both of those things helped me be who I am now. You know, very much a treating the patient versus treating the labs, looking at the whole picture. You know, things like when patients had, the members of the group had Raynaud's, and so they couldn't make meatballs or meatloaf or any of that kind of stuff, which, as you know, in that particular area of Ohio is a thing. Like, you have to do that. And, so, you know, learning that they would put winter gloves on and then put dishwashing gloves over it so that they could mix the meat so their fingers didn't get frostbite.
Yeah.
And having to kind of figure out workarounds to everyday things that their doctors were like, well, no.
Wow. How did you balance out going to school full time and trying to get your degrees and everything, and working and leading and being a part of all these different programs. It's like for me, it's like when I got a $50 late bill, I had a panic attack. I couldn't imagine being a biology student and having to worry about all of this stuff on your own, on top of the fact that you work all these jobs and all this stress. How did you deal with that?
Well, that was a learned skill as well. I got very good at, not that I'm saying this is the best answer, at figuring out workarounds, you know, generics, that kind of stuff. But I also, and I wish I could take credit for coming up with this, but I totally did not, you know, getting to the point when creditors were calling and they're like, well, we'll put this on your credit report. What you gonna do? Staple some stuff to it? Like there was no, my credit was crap. That's what it was. And, you know, I have been blessed enough that I'm not in that same position anymore, but, you know, we all know the people who don't have the trials and tribulations with finances as much, but that wasn't the life I led.
Do you feel as though YSU helped to prepare you for what you currently do now? You mentioned a lot of situations and a lot of jobs, a lot of different things that you went throughout college that helped you to make you the person you are now. But as far as career-wise, do you feel like YSU prepared you?
Sort of. So it was when I was there that I learned about osteopathy. It was just one of those, if you feed them, they will come kind of things. And it was a meeting and I was like, sure, whatever. I don't know what this thing is, but whatever. And so I learned about it, and that like chance dinner meeting changed the entire trajectory of my life and my husband's and my son's and like, and my mom's. So yes. Do I think it prepared me the way it meant to? Maybe not. But there were a lot of professors, Dr. Wantata, Dr. Sebastiani, that they went to great lengths to teach you the knowledge, but they also taught you not how to think so much, but where to get the information so that you could make an informed decision, which I think is to a certain extent the bigger job of a lot of education. Because I mean, a lot of the stuff that I learned in med school, some of it totally not even applicable now, but knowing where to find the information and having a breadth of knowledge to be able to say, this isn't important, this is really important, and this can lead to changes down the road, I think is key.
Do you have any other advice that you would like to provide for any of the students like me who will be doing research on this years and years and years from now, and they come across Dr. Kim Ford and her interview? What impact would you, like, what would you say to them?
Never let anybody tell you who you are, whether it be your culture, your skin, your hair, your job, your gender. All of that, you can find a way to surpass. It does not have to limit you in any way. But if someone wants you to succeed or to be accepted or whatever, at the expense of who you think you are as a person or who you want to be, walk away, because that is not a space you want to be in. And that no matter how many people accept you, if you don't accept yourself, you'll never feel welcomed. So, and that's, you know, the world and the environment has changed a lot now. I mean, I distinctly remember the first time I saw a biracial couple on a commercial, because that didn't happen. And it was when I was, I think it was when I was in med school. So it wasn't even when I was in college.
Wow.
So, I mean, I know it seems like things haven't changed, but they've changed.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
So that's, no matter where you are, you'll always be you. And you can always change you if you decide you want to. But never sacrifice who you are, what you believe, or the people you love, family, friends, lovers, whatever, because of what you look like, what they like, look like, or what the world says.
Yeah. Yeah. Thank you so much for that advice. And thank you for providing your time for this project. I know you're really busy, but thank you for taking off this chunk of time for us.
Thank you. Good luck. And yeah, have fun with this, because I hated research. Statistics was literally my least favorite class. So I still have track marks up and down my back from where it ran me over. So.
Oh yeah, I could totally agree. I'm a psychology major, so everything I do is research and stats. So
oh, yeah, we can pray that I'm not the one, the two, or the three.
Thank you so much.
No problem. Take care. Bye-bye.
You too.